Well, I'm back with Mark.
Hello.
And we're in episode 2 of Why Not Return? That's the question the series is going to keep asking us. Why not return? Mm-hmm. Why not return?
I like it.
Today, we're going to kind of talk about the progression of sin. Last week, we talked about the seed that's planted. We'll talk more about like the progression of allowing that seed to be planted and proliferated over and over and over.
Yeah, that's good. Good topic.
So the question is, where has sin taken us? That's for all of us. That's not just for those that like could consider like why not return. This is a question for all of us. Like, where has sin taken you? If we can give consideration to like why we left or the idea of a return, then we have been taken somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we have been taken somewhere. And so how did you get there? Mm-hmm. How did you get in that place where you could return or you have left? How'd you get there? And maybe that starts with a choice that seems harmless. We talked about this in our last episode. It could start with just like, you know, one click on your computer or one night, one word that no one, you thought no one would notice. But what that road begins with, like just that small one time, that one step, that road often ends in a place we never intended to go. It leads us to a place we never dreamed we'd be. That small step, that one time.
Yeah, that small step away from God.
Yes. It often, I think, leads to, how'd I get here? I never meant to go here with that choice.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about today, because that's what sin does. Like, it doesn't stay still. It's going to progress. It's going to grow. And before you realize it, it'll take you somewhere you never meant to go.
Yeah. It'll even cause you to not desire God any longer. It'll progress and your heart will change to serving yourself, and God will not appeal to you. Mm. Not that he's not deep inside and you understand what could be, but you're captivated by the sin, by the separation, and allured by various ways, and you just get more and more separate, mm-hmm. more and more distant.
It is that enticing nature, mm-hmm. From James 1. You know, it's alluring, it's enticing, and it's captivating. Mm-hmm. It's captivating of our desire and then of our life.
Yeah.
As the progression continues.
It's also easy a lot of times. It's mm-hmm. easy to steer away. Although it most often results in a lot of struggle and difficulty, which I think you're going to talk about that.
Yeah. It does. I want to talk about Judges chapter 20, because that's going to work us towards where you're at. Because what the Bible's doing in Judges 20 is it's describing soldiers who had the best precision with a sling. You know, David and Goliath, the sling. There's these Benjaminites, and they could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. That's how good they were with their slings. Mm. Their target was a hair, and they wouldn't miss with their sling. And here's the tragedy, though. That precision, that ability, they were using that to fight their brothers. They weren't using it to fight off God's enemies. It was totally misdirected. And so, like, that's how I think sin really warps vision and loyalty and even our own sense of what's right and wrong. That we could become, like, hateful and embittered and jealous and angry and murderous of our own brothers, like people who who are our people? Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's our neighbor. You know, yeah. If we wanted to talk about that, we could. But like to even consider like that kind of heart towards another person, it warps us. It warps us. That's how it distorts not only what we do, but our very reality.
Yeah.
It distorts how we see this world that we live in. And it gets us aiming at all the wrong things.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get enraptured by the nature of this world, which is actually behind it all is Satan. Mm. And his rebellion against God and his desire to get us to do the same mm-hmm. for some warped reason.
Yeah, and it comes from that desire. I want to be the master. I want to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. I know what I want.
Yeah.
And so I give myself what I want. And then we do that over and over and over, and it captures us.
Yeah.
It has us under its control. The drift, like the steps away, become like a descent. You know, like we feel like we're headed towards bottom. Mm-hmm. That's what sin does to us. That's what sin wants to do yeah. to us. It starts with, you know, a small seed that's planted or a door that's open. It's just once. You know, it's the once that becomes a pattern, the once that has become habitual. And then it's the once that becomes an identity. Mm-hmm. Like you've wrapped up now, that's who I am. Uh-huh. I can't imagine my life without this, whatever this is. Mm-hmm. If it's not the seed of Jesus, and given our time thus to that, yeah. then like what has your identity become because of this habit,
yeah.
This desire.
Yeah. Which isn't good, but we are wrapped up in it. It's become our life.
It has, and maybe we're even numb to that. Like what once maybe would have bothered us, or we would have questioned or been maybe hesitant towards, like we become numb to it. Mm-hmm. And we become convinced that it's normal. Like that's who I am. That's my normal. You know, our hearts become kind of callous to once what once would have maybe pricked us. Mm-hmm. Our vision becomes clouded. And then comes like the thing none of us want, but maybe the shame, the weight that has disfigured how we see ourselves.
Yes.
The shame that becomes a disfiguring, you know,
yeah.
shame is not a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not necessary, you know, but it's not a good thing, and it disfigures how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I know this all too well, you know, like I'm very familiar with this. The lie that I've told to cover up the mistakes, the decisions I swore I would never repeat again. But I did. The habit that I said I had under control, but you know, it still had me in its grips. And I felt unrecognizable to myself. Like it's not just a little distance from God. Like I feel unrecognizable to myself.
Yeah, I think that can either humble us, it calls us to look at ourselves and wish that we had not gotten there, or it can cause us to get harder of heart and to rebel, to be angry, even at people who maybe want to help us, you know, help us get back to what we were. Maybe somebody, we maybe reject people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the Benjamites that were fighting against their own brothers, that could choose us to be difficult, spiteful, arrogant, hard people.
And that's exactly why I wanted to bring up that verse. Because sometimes people are trying to get us to, like, consider where we're at, and we don't want to. Like, of course, obviously, sin still has us. Like, it wants us to be content in this place of, like, distance from God. It wants us to be unrecognizable to ourselves. Mm. It wants us to be unrecognizable to the image in which God's created you. But the good news is, like, that progression, it is not the end of your story. Like, if you're listening to this, the end of your story is still to be written. You have the opportunity to have a different end to your story. And so I want to talk about Luke 15, the prodigal son.
Hmm. Yeah.
If that's okay.
Great story.
Because he's not somebody who just, like, left. He did leave home, you know, but he spiraled. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just that he strayed or drifted. He did drift and stray, and then he spiraled. He had a little freedom, and that became reckless living, and it could have ended in total ruin. Mm-hmm. His story doesn't end there. He sees that, you know, he's in this pig pen, in a place he never thought he'd be. I think that's the point of the parable. This is what sin does to us. It leads us in, like, how did I get here? I never imagined just the drift would have led to me being here.
In that beginning, I just thought that in the very beginning, where he was with his father, things were okay. But he had to have had the thought, "I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want something else." He goes to his father and he says, "Give me my part of your inheritance, of my inheritance." And he takes that, he takes his blessing, and he walks away. And that's when the downward spiral happens. Mm-hmm. And then the realization finally comes when he's lost it all, and he thinks about the life he had before, and that life wasn't so bad.
That's a great point. Fantastic. We come to ourselves. You know, that's what it is. That's how the Luke 15 describes it. That's awesome, Mark. That is, I think, describing how he came to himself. He remembers home. Mm-hmm. He remembers how generous and gracious his father was, how loving his father was. Mm-hmm. And he remembered he doesn't have to stay. He doesn't have to stay. He doesn't have to stay in this place that sin's taken him. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing, is that realization. Like, you don't have to stay here. If you're in a place where you feel miserable and, like, you know, there's got to be more to life. And maybe you would say, I've strayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in admitting that.
Yes.
We all do that. More often than probably we'd like to admit. Maybe sin has taken you further than you thought you'd ever go. Maybe it has cost you relationships with your brothers, your Benjaminites, your parents, your friends, your children, your brothers and sisters. Like, maybe it's cost you real relationships. Maybe it's cost you inner peace, like, where you're just not able to live in a peaceful state. Maybe it's cost you your confidence. Maybe it's cost you your joy. Like, these are prices that we pay. But it's not a place we have to stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little rhyme there I didn't intend for. It is, though. It's that's the price we pay, but it's not where we have to stay. Yeah. Lack of confidence, lack of joy, lack of peace, fracture of relationships. Like, God will fix all those things if you come home.
Yeah. Your loving father will actually allow you to stumble and go your way. He's not going to keep you He desires you.
We're not his pets.
Right.
You know, we're his children.
You are free
yeah.
to make your own decisions. But he's hoping that you will learn a lesson and come back. And that's the father he is. I think about when I strayed in life before, I felt like, why would God take me back? I don't deserve to go back. Mm-hmm. I've done this. I've rejected him. Why? He won't want me. That's not the case. It's not being deserving is not the right perspective where God is concerned, because God is willing to take the lowly and the poor in spirit and to accept them and to raise them back up with mercy. And so, no, we don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve his love, but he's willing.
And eager.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, I love that, the nature of God as our Father. That same Father who watched us take that first step away, he's running to meet us. He's running to meet us when we take our first step back. Mm-hmm. And so why not? Like, why not return? Why would you not? And you can answer that for yourself. Like, if that's a question that pertains to you, pertains to all of us. Like, why not return? Why not give him more of ourself? Why not rededicate ourselves today as his servant and mm-hmm. give him more of our service today? That's a question for all of us. So questions I want to leave you with, I want you to think about. First is, where does sin take me? Question for all of us. Where does sin take me? And I want you to be honest. Like, I want you to really give thought to, like, when you give in to it, when you notice that drift of God's presence, and maybe the darkness of being away from his presence for longer than you intended to be, where does that take you? Like, what kind of headspace does that put you in? What kind of mood does that set for your day? Write it down, you know, like, really name that cost of your sin. Where does it take you? And then second is, what would returning to God give? What does he want me to receive if I returned? And so picture that, write that down. Draw that out in your head or on paper. What would returning to God offer me in terms of his grace and in terms of his forgiveness, in terms of his embrace? Like, if you could think that out to its extreme, how would you picture that return? And then take a step back, all of us, all of us, take a step back toward him. Pray honestly, confess openly. I'm not saying explain yourself, you know, but like, maybe confess. Just what it is, what the thing is, that sin and where it takes you. And maybe reach out to someone that you could talk with, that you really trust. That, one of those, is how you break that progression. That is the first step back that breaks the progression. Just praying honestly and confessing openly, and reaching out to God, reaching out to someone, that will break that cycle of lack of confidence, lack of joy, lack of peace, fracture of relationships. Those are the ways you break it. You break free. Mm-hmm. Sin will always take us further than we meant to go. It'll always keep us there longer than we meant to stay. And it'll always cost us more than we meant to pay. That wasn't intentional, Ron, with that one. The first one was it. It always takes us further than we meant to go. It'll keep us longer than we meant to stay. And it'll cost us more than we meant to pay. But here's the important thing. God will always bring us closer than we ever dreamed that we could be with him. God will always hold us tighter and longer than we ever thought possible. And he will give us more than we could ever deserve. That's our Father.
Yes.
So wherever sin has taken you, remember, it doesn't get the final word. God always gets the final word. He's going to get the final word. And his word right now to you might be, come home. Come home. So thanks for joining us on this episode.
Yes.
And next time we're going to talk about the weight of sin. The weight of sin, how it doesn't just move us, but it traps us. It can get to the point where, like, we are trapped. We're stuck. It can even go further than just being, you know, in a place we didn't think we'd be, longer than we thought we'd be there. But it can get us to the point of, like, I'm trapped. I don't think I can go back. I don't feel like I can go back. I feel like I'm stuck here. This is now, you know, home. Mm-hmm. Home has shifted. Yeah. And we'll see how Jesus breaks those chains that feel unbreakable. Just remember, no matter how far you've gone, the road back to God is always open.
Mm-hmm. Yes.